You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, what up, Jacksonville? What up, Duval? This is Tony Wiggins, your host here on Locked On Jaguars, bringing you daily content and another edition of Locked On Jaguars here on a Thursday, as we do every single day, because it's your team every day here on Locked On Jaguars. And you can get this wherever you subscribe to your podcast, because we bring it to you here every day. I want to tell you that today's show is sponsored by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. We got some things I want to discuss today, a few things. We're going to have a little fun with you. First of all, this is the not so serious, don't take yourself so seriously show. But first of all, there's some talk about, I'm going to go second segment first. There's some talk about how Trevor Lawrence should be used. Should the Jaguars try to play hero ball, just let him throw it around a lot, since he has this great throwing motion and the ball fires out of his hand and it just sounds different and he's the savior? I don't agree with that. Should they really, really protect him with a running game and tell him that he shouldn't be, don't try to, you know, be the hero and really insulate him? I think I heard Sal Palantonio say that yesterday to Rick Ballew, or last night. I don't quite subscribe to that either. I think when you draft a guy that high and you have that these many aspirations for him, you kind of have to let him be himself a little bit. We'll talk about that in segment two. Segment three, a lot of news and a lot of guys making a lot of noise at these pro days, so we'll continue to update that and talk about the possibilities for Jacksonville as the pro days continue to change and how they're going to continue to add more and more weapons, because the landscape for these things keeps shifting day to day based on more and more workouts and as more information comes out. So we'll always use segment three as we head up to the draft to kind of take the two segments that we do before that and then try to end it with the news of the day based on the shifting in the tide. It's almost like a stock market. So that's what we're going to do with segment three. But to segment one, let's have some fun. So I'm going to tell you about some additions, because I saw an April Fool's George Kittle joke that he was coming to the Jaguars and he got everybody all up in arms. That was just a few minutes ago, but he even got me, but I'm glad I didn't comment on it. I made some phone calls and said, is this real? And my girl Mia O'Brien told me, no, bro, it ain't real. So she would know. First Coast News, Mia O'Brien, shout out to her. But she would know. She says, no, it ain't real. She loves Iowa and she would know right away before anybody. So she told me, bro, it's April Fool's. Don't get caught up in that. So I didn't get caught up in it, but it kind of reminded me of something that I was thinking about earlier today as I was formatting the show in my mind. The things that I've been right about and the things that I've been wrong about. You know, I kind of got on Stephen A. Smith a little bit on Twitter, not directly, but just saying things on social media. So I'm going to be a little transparent with you guys. Things that I was right about the draft in terms of prospects, things that I was wrong about too. Okay, and I'm going to be honest with you about it. So that will, you know, lead us into segment two when I start talking about Trevor. It doesn't mean I'm right all the time, but, you know, I'm going to give you my opinion and I'm going to let you know I got a pretty good track record. Okay, so let me tell you where I was wrong first. So that'll stick into your mind because I'm so confident about the things that I was right that I don't mind going second with that. Let me tell you why I was wrong. I'm going to take the big stuff first. I did not think Christian McCaffrey would be as good as he is in the NFL. It has nothing to do with him being a white running back. Okay, I'll kill that right away. It had everything to do with him. In fact, I tweeted this out. I tweeted that anybody that thinks Christian McCaffrey is going to be better than Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, or Alvin Kamara has bumped ahead. I think it was something like that. And it was as much to do with me thinking that the way Christian McCaffrey was used in college in the exact same conference was much like Reggie Bush was used. and how guys like that, when they got to the NFL, they would get injured, banged up, and broken up, and they wouldn't get away, and how they played in space, it wouldn't work as much. The gadget stuff wouldn't work as much. They'd have to be tougher, all right? So for the first year or two, he played well, but once they paired him with Norv Turner, I knew I was in trouble, because if you watch Norv Turner's track record with running backs, they've all of those running backs were great, but they all had their best years with him. And I told somebody at my old radio station where I worked, I said, he's going to be like an MVP candidate. And he was when he got with Norv Turner. So he turned out to be a lot better than I thought, and because he also ended up being a better inside runner than I thought. So I was wrong about that. Let me tell you something else I was wrong about. I was not very high on Patrick Mahomes. So I know you guys are going like, wow, Wig, that's two for two. That's like MVP caliber players, and you were wrong about him. Yep, I was wrong about Patrick Mahomes. I said I would not take Patrick Mahomes, but I did say I would take Deshaun Watson. Okay, so I was wrong about both of those guys. And this is in recent history. All right, so things that I was right about. Now I'm going to mention people's names, because this is what matters to you, and this is what is relevant to you. If you ever run into them, you can ask them. One of them might remember and one of them might not remember. I'll start with Tom Coughlin. I told Tom Coughlin, we had a moment, and it was at an event, and we were having fun. It was one of those events where he was really nice. Told my wife I was a great guy. And I said, Coach, I don't usually do this, but can I just mention one prospect to you? He said, yeah, go ahead, shoot. I said, you need to draft that tight end from Iowa, that Kittle kid. He chuckled and walked away. Kittle lasted until the fifth round. The Jaguars didn't draft him. They probably wish they would, and you probably wish they would too. Okay, so that's one. Two, Dave Caldwell, who you all know that I'm really, really cool with. I told Dave Caldwell, I really love that defensive tackle from Mississippi State named Chris Jones. And he was like, yeah, good player. If you ever see Dave, ask him, did I not tell him that? So I'm telling you, those are two guys. Now, I'll mention another guy, but folks might not remember this. Dave, I don't think I was talking to Dave when I said this, but I said this to somebody years ago. I said that the Jaguars needed to find a way in the second or third round to draft Keenan Allen, a wide receiver from California. I promise you I said it. And I'm mentioning those three guys because those are three guys that I stood on the table for. And for each one of them, I have a witness. Like, I'm talking about, I've had multiple conversations with people leading up to the draft, and I was like, draft them, draft them, draft them. And so it's easy for me to pick guys who went in the first round and were at the top. But I'm talking about, it makes you feel real good when you hit on guys that are like second, third, and fourth round picks. So Chris Jones is a second round pick. Keenan Allen was a third round pick. And Kittle was a fifth round pick. So I'm bragging about those guys because those guys are like all world guys, right? They're like great players. And they're great players that ended up signing second and maybe even third contracts with their team. And they're at the best in the league at their position. And you had them for cheap for like 3 or 4 years. That's how you win championships. Because if you can hit on the early guys and you can hit on those guys, and those guys become like all pros, and if those guys become all pros, potentially Hall of Famers, you nailed it. That's why you get to the Super Bowl, and that's why you win it. So I'm patting myself on the back for those, but I'm also going to be transparent about the guys that I missed. So when I give you my opinion on Trevor Lawrence and the rest of the guys from here on out, you could say, Wig, you don't know everything. You're right. But I have admitted, I don't know everything, but I have told you the guys, and I bear witness and told you who you can ask about the guys that I did say over the years. And it's been way more than that, but those are the people, for the sake of this conversation, that I wanted to bring to your attention. So what we're going to do next is we're going to talk about Trevor Lawrence, how I think he needs to be used, what I think the Jaguars probably should do, and how they can balance it out, and why I think it needs to be looked at more of one way than the other. And we'll do that as soon as we mention some friends of ours here on Locked On Jaguars on a Thursday. I got to tell you about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a place for you to go from home on your laptop or on your PC for you to order auto parts and accessories for your vehicle, no matter what the make, no matter what the model, no matter what it is you're trying to get accomplished to your vehicle, even if it's just something that is just cosmetic or aesthetic, or it's something serious with the drivetrain, or it's something very serious with something that is just a body part. You can get it at rockauto.com, and you can get it for a price that a professional would get it for. That's right. You don't have to go to a chain store and stand there and act like you know what you're doing. You go to rockauto.com, and there's a window where they're going to ask you, how did you hear about us? You put Locked On in that box. And when you put Locked On, they know you were sent by us. And what it starts is a process where you answer a few simple questions. And what do you know? Voila, the part will show up on your doorstep or through the mail. And you'll have it at an absolute wonderful, wonderful price, the lowest price you can ever imagine, even if you're a do-it-yourselfer. And you'll have that part delivered to you. It's rockauto.com, where you can choose to spend 30 or 40 or 50% less than you will anywhere else. It's an amazing, amazing company with amazing selection and reliably low prices. Been in business for over two decades. Go to rockauto.com and start saving money right away. All right, man. So if you want to know where you can hear the Locked On Today podcast, because I know you want to know, it's Odyssey. That's right. The Odyssey app is in full effect. And if you get the Odyssey app, you need to go on there and look for the Locked On Today podcast with my man Peter Bukowski, who gives you the latest news from around the sports landscape. And he does it in under 20 minutes every single day on the Locked On Today podcast. Odyssey is the name of the app. Locked On Today is the podcast. Do it and get the news every day delivered to you, like espresso early in the morning, so you know exactly what's going on all around the sports world. While you're driving to work, it's the best thing you can do to have the sports brought to you every day by Peter Bukowski on the Locked On Today podcast. All right, so Trevor Lawrence, what should happen? How should he be used? What should they do? Should they take it slow? Should it be a conservative issue? Great interview last night I was listening to as in my car with Rick Ballew. He had the great Sal Palantonio on his radio show here locally in Jacksonville. And I agreed with a lot of it and I disagreed with some, but I'll just go over this thought process that you kind of have to bring Trevor along slow. I do believe that you don't have to have him out here throwing the ball 50 times a game. Look, he's going to start. Guys like Mahomes did not start. They played behind someone else in the, with a team that was already established, a playoff team, and Mahomes played at the end of the year. You don't have to go out here and act like you don't have to do what Cincy did with Joe Burrow and put him in and have him throwing 50. Joe Burrow had 60-some-odd pass attempts in one game. I don't think that's what you have to do with Trevor Lawrence and leave him in a situation where he may be injured or he puts himself at risk. But I do think when you pick a guy number one overall with the skill set that Trevor Lawrence has, you want to show enough confidence in his ability that he can learn on the fly and that you don't have to necessarily babysit him either. You want to see what that arm can do. You want to see what that mind can do. And you don't have to worry that about him making mistakes. You know he's going to get hit. It's big boy football. You don't want to get him hurt. You know he's going to make mistakes because that's what even the greatest quarterbacks who've ever played this game, that's what they do. But you want to win the games. I think winning the games is the most important thing. I think there's a way to relay to Trevor that you don't have to play hero ball. I think you do that to everybody. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers or whoever. You don't have to play hero ball. All right. Use your resources around you. But I do believe the Jaguars have a responsibility to build the team up around Trevor Lawrence to force everyone to do their job, to be multifaceted in their approach, to be able to run the football, to keep everyone honest and at home, to be efficient in their route running, to shore up the offensive line, as well as to find the tight ends and get the running backs in the game that know how to pass protect. But listen, you do all of that in support of the fact that you have a multi-talented young quarterback. that you are going to at some point say, we're going to put stuff on your back. That's why you get a franchise quarterback. You don't get a franchise quarterback for him to be a game manager. You get a franchise quarterback to have him in the game for the times during the game where you're going to say, we need you to be special right now. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's not mutually exclusive for you to ask him to do those things, but then for you to also to build the things and the infrastructure around him so that he doesn't have to constantly do that all game. You can allow him to be aggressive within structure. You can allow him to be special within a conservative approach. Troy Aikman was that way. They built their offense in Dallas around a running game, but when they called his number, he had to be accurate. And when they called his number, he delivered. And most of the time in Dallas, even though they were a running team, they usually opened the game up by passing. And when they passed the game on their first drive and they go down and get seven, then they come back and they basically would run, wear the team out, and then they use play action and bang, hit you with a big play midway through the third quarter, the game's over. So there's a way you can do this without making him a total game manager and lulling him to sleep and not using his ability without him having to play hero ball. But at the same time, also recognizing his talent and his skill level and putting the appropriate weapons around him. And at some points during the game saying, okay, kid, show me what you got. Go rip it and put pressure on this defense. He's special for a reason. And there's no reason that you have to go out here and protect him to the point where you harness that, which makes him special, that you harness that, which makes you so happy to have the number one pick, that you harness the things that make having that number one pick so important that it brought Urban Meyer out of retirement and made that pick a no-brainer. Because you're hustling backwards if you don't use all of that stuff to your advantage. And you're not necessarily taking advantage of him and his ability. Because you're taking this approach. It's almost like scared money doesn't make any money. But I do agree that, you know, you have to build things up around him. And you can't just go out here and just rely on him without, you know, you never max protect. You don't, you never max protect. You don't get him appropriate tight ends. All of this stuff. You have to do those things. You absolutely have to do all of the things that you need to do in order to maximize his ability. I think it goes hand in hand, man. I really do. I think it goes hand in hand for this team to be super and uber successful in the future. And I think they have a good mix to be able to do that. That's why I think when you approach the draft, you don't just assume that just because you have James Robinson and Carlos Hyde, you're okay at running back. I think when you approach the draft, you don't just assume that just because you have four or five receivers that you know their names, that that's enough. I don't think you assume that just because, you know, they say they're okay on the offensive line, you don't also shore it up. They have 10 picks. They have 10 picks, and they've used most of their free agency on defense. This is why I think they're going to add players on offense. I was talking to Michael Ross, former Jaguar players, just this morning, and he can tell you. He says, Wig, I don't, you know, he started out, Wig, he talks in a deep voice, Wig, I don't know if they can get, they got good offensive skill players. They got more holes. I said, name them. So we start going through the roster when you think about the free agency additions, and I think I even convinced him that no matter what we think about the personnel, they believe that they've shored up the defense. There aren't many starting positions in the secondary, if any, maybe one. There are no starting positions at linebacker, if you think about it. There are no starting positions along the defensive front, if you think about it. Maybe one starting position in the front seven and maybe one in the secondary. According to them, they have their offensive line. Maybe there's one position there. That's three. Maybe. Trevor's going to be the quarterback, okay? So he's the first pick. If everyone says the receivers are set, And everybody says the running back set. So maybe they need a starter at tight end, right? So maybe there's four. Well, they got four picks in the first, 45 picks. They still have more selections. So do you necessarily use the first 45 picks on need? If you still have all of those other selections where you could fortify those spots, or do you use it on best player available, knowing you can still fortify those spots later? That's what we'll talk about in segment three here on Jaguars, because I think it's a question that you really have to ask yourself in the approach that this team is going to take come draft day. And we'll do it in just a second here on a Thursday. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website to use your mobile device today and sign up and receive your free 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once you make a deposit, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on top of that when you use the promo code Locked On. That's right. The promo code is Locked On to receive an additional 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline.ag. All right, man, we're rolling here on a Thursday. And if you're ready for the NFL draft, you have to join Locked On NFL Draft host Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak as they give you the latest positional drafts, rankings, and analysis and 2020 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Listen, we just summed it up at the end of segment two. And what we've summed up is this. You want to come out here in the first and second round where you have five picks and you have the 66th pick at the top of the third round. That's six picks. There's a chance that you could, on a normal situation, you might get six starters. I don't know if that's the case here. All right. But you have four more picks after that. So what you want to think about if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars is best player available or need, right? If we look at this situation as they have a minimum of four positions where we need starters on this team. And I'm being generous with that. I'm being extremely generous because that means that some guys you know right now on the roster won't start. And that's saying that rookies are going to beat them out. I'm saying that you're going to start a rookie tight end. I'm saying that you're going to start a rookie defensive lineman, a rookie edge, and a rookie safety. And I don't necessarily agree with all of those. But just for the sake of this, that's what's going to happen. That Kalavon Chaisson is going to be fighting a rookie, that one of those safeties is going to be fighting for their job, that an interior offensive lineman or a right tackle is going to either compete or beat out A.J. Cann or Jawan Taylor, or Jawan Taylor is going to move the guard, and whatever tight end they're going to draft is going to win that spot. So let's just assume that that's going to happen. That still leaves them with an additional second and a third round pick and other picks. So could you fortify those positions at later spots and those guys that I just mentioned still start and then take best player available at a position other than those positions because that player is the best player on the board and you might know that in the future, a guy that's at another position, his contract may be due next year, and you know this guy will be a good fit for that spot to either compete at that spot this year. Like off-ball linebacker. What if you have an off-ball linebacker at that position, and we've mentioned guys like Zaven Collins before. What if you just can't resist? And you're like, man, a year or two down the line, he might be better than Joe Schobert. He might be able to play side-by-side with Miles. Do you pass him up and not take him only because you already have Schobert? And because you have a need that's immediate right now somewhere else, but maybe if you hang around and not do, maybe if you realize you can get Deontay Brown at the top of the third round, you wouldn't take Wyatt Davis right now at 25. because you can address interior line and Deonte Brown might be able to start for you right away, right now, instead of you taking Wyatt Davis to start for you right now. Or Deonte Brown might be able to provide a level of competition enough to bring out the best in one of those other guys. Or you can go into the draft and say, you know what? We can get Dillard Dunes later on in the second round, and he can come in and compete with Juwan Taylor at right tackle. And if he can win the right tackle position, then you know what? Maybe then we'll kick Taylor down to guard, or he'll provide that iron sharpens iron mentality and Taylor will step up. But then we can still have Radunes as a swing tackle just in case Cam Robinson doesn't necessarily really progress the way we think he should in his franchise tag year. So we can get him at that point so we don't have to take a tackle right now. That's the point. It's like need versus BPA, and that's the thing that I want you guys to think about. If you're sitting there and you're going, man, I really like Trayvon Moehrig at 25, but we could go ahead and address this extra receiver position and get Kadarius Toney and provide that extra pop and speed that we're talking about and give us another level of explosiveness in our receiving core. And I could probably pop Richie Grant at number 45 and let him play some free safety for us because he may be more suited to play split or box than he is free, but we're going to play split safeties anyway. So, hell, I might be able to pull him at 45 and go ahead and get Kadarius now, but I can't get Kadarius in the second round, even though safety might be more of a need. This is what I want you guys to start thinking about because when you really look at their roster the way it's set up, there's going to be redundancy. They're going to be guys that they take that may not play right away, or you may not think on the depth chart they play right away, but they're going to come in and they're going to challenge guys that are on that roster right now under contract for playing time. This is how teams that are good get better. You challenge guys in front of you for playing time. The Chiefs chose Mecole Hardman in, what, the second or third round? They didn't necessarily need Mecole Hardman. And guess what? They were going to take Henry Ruggs if they could have got within striking range. And I keep using this as an example. They were going to take Henry Ruggs. That's the last thing they needed. Didn't care about that. They, go take somebody's spot. You run a 4-2-7, go take somebody's spot. This is what they do. This is what good teams do, and they do it all the time. They do it all the time. We're just going to get better at that spot. We're going to get better at that spot. And that good teams bring guys in to challenge other people. The Cowboys weren't good in 1993 when they drafted Jimmy Smith and they drafted Kevin Williams. They had Alvin Harper and they had Michael Irvin. Jimmy didn't care. Draft him. Draft him. Now, Jimmy Smith got hurt. But guess what? The talent was still there. Jimmy saw it. And Jimmy Smith ended up being one of the best receivers of his era. The thing is draft him. We don't care. Go back through history and look at those teams that were good before they got good. Before the teams that were good got good, before they turned the corner, look at the moves that they made to improve themselves when they already had proven players. And watch what they did. Watch the little sneaky additions that they made to their team. Watch the little draft picks that they made. And watch the things that they did to actually improve themselves before they made that next step. Because folks always tell me when I mention these teams, yeah, but they had the luxury of doing that. No. I'm talking about right before you all knew that they were great. Go back and look at the little subtle things that they did that improved their team to get better. Like the Rams when they had Marcus Peters in there. No, they've got Jalen Ramsey. They wanted to get better. And Peters is a good player. Nope, not good enough. We want another guy. That's the point I'm trying to make. When you try to, when teams recognize we have a guy, but we need another guy. We need another guy. We want competition. Or he's just too good for us to pass up. We got to take him. You just take him in and it works itself out. That's the mentality that I think we need to take as we try to prognosticate and push forward to figure out what they're going to do. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make another podcast tomorrow, and I hope you guys come along and listen because it's Locked On Jaguars. It's your team every day, and it's what we do. And you can catch us wherever you get your podcast. Continue to take care of each other. It's a glorious day outside here in Jacksonville, Florida. I hope you enjoy the weather. and enjoy each other and your families. Until tomorrow, we'll see you here on Locked On Jaguars. I'm Tony Wiggins.